Okay. Tokyo.
South America.
Australia.
France.
Germany.
UK.
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And after having been done out of Friday on the Front Porch, the program returns on this, the 30th day of December, 2019. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That, of course, is where, as usual, you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and whatever time it is, wherever you happen to be. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And, yeah, first things first, sorry about Friday. It was truly circumstances beyond my control. Because God knows I tried to control the circumstances. So far, so good. But I spent the weekend reloading the laptop that drives the audio gizmo that sends the audio to the stream, White Rose Society and HeadOn.live. And it crashed on Friday. I checked it. You know, every day I come in every morning and I check the system. Is everything okay? Yeah. And then I assume that everything's going to be okay when it comes time to hot up the mic. Sometimes that turns out not to be true. Friday, it turned out not to be true. And so the best I can figure, and I've been bedeviled by this back in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion as well, conflicts arise with USB 3.0 and USB-C. And when they do, they're really, really nasty. And so I think that's what happened here, because what was it? So I'm using the Rodecaster Pro, for those of you who are gear sluts like me, and it generally does a fantastic job, but it connects via a USB-C port on the back of the unit and connects into the laptop via USB. And it was the damnedest thing, because I had audio going out to the other gizmo that's sending video to Facebook. And hey to the Facebook gang, there's James in Spain and Kelly and hey Kevin, and hey Tim and Dave and Pepe and Roger from far away Peru. Paul's joined in. I bet it's a lovely day in Madrid, James. I bet it is indeed. But as far as I can, it crashed everything. And this is a new-ish laptop. This laptop's not a year old. It's a Ryzen 7 with 32 gigs of RAM, and just couldn't take it. Bailed. And so that was my weekend. You know, reloading and re-everythinging this laptop. So anyway, if you'd like to be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza, run on over to HeadOn.live, click on chat room, jump right in. You'll be immediately greeted by the likes of Anatole and Dowhead and Ralps and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who Although a Third Stage Guild navigator has chosen not to fold space in the far confines of Northern California today, and he is ably assisted this evening by pinch-hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. So we're all set. And this program, like any other, begins with gratitude. Oh, it does, it does. And so thanks go out to our subscribers. Going all the way back to Friday. So what does that mean? That means thanks to Robert in Australia. Thank you kindly to Philip and to Sharon, to Randy in PA, to Charlene in Rogues Island, to Joseph and to Rico and to Berg. And thanks also late in the evening of the 26th to our dear sister Jude out in the Great Northwest, who jumped in on our buddy Dan Fisher's challenge, make me watch a movie I haven't seen before. And so I've conveyed that to Dan, and hopefully he will report back next time we talk. Should be fun. Let's see. Oh, and where we stand in terms of fundraising at the end of the year, well, it didn't help missing Friday. So we wound up with the same fundraising goal for today that we had for Friday. $510 to finish December, $510 to finish 2020. So that works out to, I think, 255 tonight, 255 tomorrow. Hopefully we will hopefully we'll meet it, because that would be a bad omen indeed to finish the year behind. So, fingers crossed. All right. If you want to help out, run over to headon.live, click on contribute. And hey, we'd love to have some new subscribers. We really, really would. And if you remember, if you sign on for $10 a month, damn, that is less than it's less than a half a pack of chewing gum per program. Yeah. So that's where fundraising stands, and hopefully we will knock it out early on. It would be great if we could. And again, as we approach the end of the year, thank you so very kindly to all of you who have kept the program on the air. Remember, there is roughly one financial supporter of the program for every 100 members of the community. Let that sink in. So when I talk about we few, we happy few, and the merry little band that keeps this program on the air, it's that 1% of community members who do it. For once, the 1% is a good thing instead of a burden on society. Without the 1% of members of this community who keep it going, this radio community would not exist. Program note, as far as the week is concerned, and mercifully, the holidays will be over as of Wednesday, and we can get back into the swing of some sort of normality. Obviously, live this evening and live tomorrow evening. That's New Year's Eve. Anything that I may be involved in tomorrow evening is not going to happen between the hours of 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. So, live this evening, live tomorrow. I don't see any reason why I shouldn't be live on New Year's Day. So, nobody else will be. We might as well have some live conversation. And then January the 2nd and January the 3rd, Thursday and Friday, live for that too. In other words, a week as near to normal as we might reasonably expect to have. So that and again, I'm a little bit paranoid after what happened on Friday. But yeah, broadcast as normal. Again, fingers crossed. Ralph's has two new kitty cats, two little kittens, Tegan and Kayla. And the Tegan and Kayla challenge is on. Ralph's will double the first $25 that comes in and turn that into 50, and that'll take us down to only $460 to go to finish the year. Hey, you know what would be great for New Year's Eve? A fundraising-free New Year's Eve. That's what would be great for New Year's Eve. So if we knock out that $410, and if we start with Ralph's challenge, we will be well on the way. So if you'd like to see your $25 turn into 50, almost miraculously, and do so in the name of fuzzy, fluffy little Tegan and Kayla, well, jump right in. The radio is fine. Okay. All right. So that, I believe, is all of the housekeeping for the evening. Hey, welcome to the video feed, Susan and Melanie. Welcome. Hope you enjoy it. John in snowbound Fargo, North Dakota. Well, pull right up close to the speakers. It'll warm you up a little bit. I was talking with Agnes earlier today. those wacky folks at Appalachian Power. It was not even getting on toward the end of the evening last night when I got a call from Agnes letting me know that she wasn't going to be able to run the rerun stream. Oh, and that is another announcement. For those of you who tune into the 24/7 rerun stream, we're kind of screwed on that right now. Because naturally, if I go out of town, things go sideways in the tech department. And so even though all of these computers are behind uninterruptible power supplies and massive surge protectors, when the power crapped out last night at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, and in particular in the fabulous Horn Studios, the computer that streams the program out to the World Wide Web died a horrible death, or appears to have. I am trying to remotely lay the healing hands of faith on it. So far, that has proven as ineffective as any other miraculous healing ever does. And we're trying to pull together a workaround. We just haven't gotten there yet. Hopefully, the workaround will eventually succeed. So, until further notice, the 24/7 rerun stream isn't up and running. At the very worst, I may wind up having to run it from here. So that's just a further tech note. Oh, let's see. What's that? Scott in San Diego. Tech support, etc. Glad you got the tech issues resolved. Will there be a year-end review for 2019 and predictions for 2020? Well, that's entirely up to y'all. What mattered, and again, it's because this community is driven by the people who participate in it. What mattered to you in 2019? What do you think is going to happen in 2020? You're as good at the whole prophesying thing as I am, so there's no reason I should limit it to myself. I can tell you one thing, and I know this right now. There's no predicting involved. I'm really already tired of hearing these goobers who apparently can't count in the multimillionaire for-profit media. You know, you'd think getting paid all that damn money, you'd be able to count. One, two, three, four, five, etc. Well, they can't. I can't tell you how many times I've heard in the last week or so, here we are at the end of the decade. Shut the happy fuck up. It's not the end of the decade. The decade is not ending tomorrow night. Granted, the whole idea of decades, centuries, millennia are human constructs at the very most base level. But do you? Because I don't. And granted, I got ciphering problems. I understand. But I don't begin counting when I count something. Let's say I have. Oh, let's think of something I would like. Let's say I have 5 hot dogs from the world's most wonderful little barbecue joint, Dick Howell's Pit Barbecue. Let's say I've got 5 hot dogs. I mean, this is real kindergarten, first grade stuff. Now, going all the way back to the aforementioned first grade, I didn't have kindergarten. I'm part of that generation. I do not begin counting my hot dogs. Well, let's talk about how I do count them. I unwrap one, and I eat it. And those things are so damn good. You can knock one down in under a minute. But having eaten that hot dog, I do not declare 0. Hey, Vernon. My buddy Vernon Haltom from Coal River Mountain Watch has joined the group there on Facebook, the video group. And I'll bet Vernon doesn't count beginning with 0 either. How do you begin counting from nothing? No, you eat the hot dog and you say 1. And you have 4 left. But according to the multimillionaires in the multimillionaire for-profit media who think that the decade is ending tomorrow, they begin counting by saying nothing, which is what 0 is. You know, as first discovered by the Mayans, but we'll leave that alone for the moment. They begin counting by yelling 0. Because that's the only way that a decade can end on a year, the final number of which is 9. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's 10. Only it's 9. What's that, Brother Deacon Asa? Bob, you math Nazi. I could care less about what constitutes a decade. Ooh, there's the other one. Could care less. I'll be climbing the walls before the program's over with talk like that. But it's been a week. Now the decade that's going to come to an end. And what did you think of this decade now that this decade is coming to an end? Jesus. But that's, you know, that's just a little teeny tiny Moran problem for this here Moran Monday. Because it is, after all, you know, Moran Monday. Oh, yeah, you didn't think I'd forgotten, did you?
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Thank you.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. You will not believe your ears. It's More In Monday on the horn. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Just mere steps away from the Carnival Midway, where only moments ago you were futilely throwing away your money, throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls in a vain hope of taking home an itsy-bitsy baby iguana that would then get back to your place and grow to be the size of a Volkswagen Beetle and not eat your entire family alive, because, after all, iguanas are vegetarians. Yes, 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 it's More Ann Monday on the horn, right here behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas that I can't see and neither can you, because it's radio and it's the theater of the mind and it's the imagination. We've got them all. Birchers, deathers, booger eaters, ninthers, deathers, tenthers, maggots, trumpanzees, libertarians, republicans, all behind the More Ann Monday tent wall. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You can't tell the morons without a program, and this here is the program that tells the morons. You just can't tell them much. Nonetheless, for less than the cost of a half of a pack of juicy fruit gum, or perhaps Big Red, if you're really one of those zesty people out there, you can enter the More In Monday tent each and every other broadcast here at the Horn, because that's what a $10 subscriber is setting themselves back, less than half the cost of a pack of gum. Mm-hmm. Or less than half of a really awful McDonald's hamburger that you really didn't need. It's not good for you. That's how we keep the More In Monday tent going. We have, as always, the disclaimer that anyone entering the More In Monday tent should make certain to keep a close grip and a close eye on watches, rings, bracelets, necklaces, pendants, and even stuff that goes through your flesh. You know, like the stuff with the eyebrows and the lips and the sides of the nose and the little thing at the post and the, I don't know how you clean that. Be mindful of that too. And yes, small animals, children, European-style messenger bags, because the morons can get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in morons. No joke. You will. You really, really, and for truly will. And where do we begin in our search for morons, or our examination of morons this evening? Oh, wait a minute. Cowbell. Cowbell for Billable Rick.
Stop telling us how to count decades, Bob.
Yeah, I had that one coming. Well, you just go right on out there. I mean, you're a lawyer and everything, Billable Rick. Judge is going to love you when you start counting at zero. Yeah. No, where do we begin? I'm going to begin because there's this particular story offers up an opportunity for multi-layered moranity. See the layers there, 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 there. Yeah, we have multiple layers of moranity. It's like an archaeological dig in a moran midden. You get different occupational layers. This thing was published in the Palm Beach Post. Now, to be sure, I wouldn't know the Palm Beach Post from the Palm Beach moral volcano and daily battle cry of freedom, but I presume the Palm Beach Post is some sort of a newspaper down that way. Maybe our buddy Scary Jerry can confirm this for us, or anybody down there South Florida way. But there's apparently a deficit in terms of either talent or administrative or executive newspaper in, down there at the Palm Beach Post. On Christmas Day, yes, the story's a week old. On Christmas Day, we were introduced by the Palm Beach Post to a woman by the name of Mandy.
Oh, Mandy, you came and you lied without stopping. But they published you anyway. Oh, Mandy.
Yeah. No more singing. At least if Ralph's challenge gets met, no more singing. Mandy Gunasekara. 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 I have never heard from her. I have never heard of her before in my life. All I know about her is that once upon a time she posed for a photograph in front of a Merkin flag. Okay. Maybe she's been in state government somewhere. Yeah, I don't know. She's identified by the Palm Beach Post, and this is about as far as they went in terms of figuring out who the hell she was. Hell, they were just trying to fill column inches anyway. Mandy Gunasekara is a visiting fellow of the Independent Women's Forum. She previously served as a senior official in the... that's where that picture came from. She served as a senior official in the Environmental Protection Administration and was a former counsel to the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. She wrote this thing that I'm about to share with you for InsideSources.com. Now, this is what I meant about this story being a multi-level, multi-layer Moran Monday nomination, because we have to extend a nomination to the Palm Beach Post. Because you just heard the me read her bio, Mandy's, and it doesn't tell you anything. I can certainly trust Mandy Gunasekara because, gosh, she's a feller with the Independent Women's Forum. Oh, I mean, that Independent Women's Forum, I mean, it's got women's, and it's got independent, and it's a forum, so that's got to be a good thing, right? Yeah, no, not so much. I mean, okay, so maybe that's not so great. But she was a senior official at the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, and well, I mean, they're out there protecting the environment, aren't they? No. Well, I mean, she was at least former counsel to the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. That's got to count for something. See, this is where the Moran Monday analysis picks up. All of those things are statements that are technically true, but they don't convey the essence of who Mandy Gunasekara is. Because they don't tell us what the Independent Women's Forum is. You got to go look that up for yourself. Now, you and I, we, the Horn Family Community Congregation, we're prone to doing that because we live in a little political bubble and we don't like having the wool pulled over our eyes. And we know that in the age of deliberate disinformation, because I despise that term, fake news. I despise that. Deliberate disinformation, that it is on, it's on the consumer of information to do their own due diligence and find out if something is genuine. Well, I did all this. More on the Independent Women's Forum in a moment. What does it mean, senior official in the Environmental Protection Administration? Well, senior official in the Environmental Protection Administration means something radically different if you're a senior administration official in the Environmental Protection Agency and you're the administration you were working under was, say, that of George W. Let's Blow the Living Bee Jesus Out of Appalachia Bush, as opposed to being a member of the administration of Barack, let's just ignore Appalachia and hope it goes away, Obama.
Sorry. It's true.
I don't like it, but I was there. We were working on this. We were working on issues relating to mountaintop removal all the way through the Obama administration. And, you know, the last thing we heard from him was when he was on the campaign trail saying, I want to turn Appalachia into the Saudi Arabia of coal. And us hillbillies are standing there going, fuck, man, we're hillbillies, but we know we don't want to be the Saudi Arabia of any damn thing. And there was a little of this and, you know, some half measures. But, you know, the explosions continued to go off. And in the 8 years, in the 8 years of the Obama presidency, from a statistical standpoint, more than 8,000 hillbillies died in West Virginia as a result of the toxins that mountaintop removal releases into the air in counties where it's performed. 8 years, more than 1,000 people a year, 8,000 dead. Yeah, but who's counting? It's just hillbillies, right? So there's a great deal of difference. So if you're Mandy Gunasekera and you're in the George W. Bush EPA, then you're not exactly a friend to being able of species that would like to go on being able to live on planet Earth. Well, okay, but see, she saw the error of her ways, and she got herself a job as counsel. That means lawyer, counsel to the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. I mean, that's an important Senate committee now, isn't it? Yeah. But once again, there's a big damn difference between being counsel to the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee when that committee has a majority Republican membership versus when it's a Democrat. A big difference indeed. So I think we can safely say that Mandy Gunasekera, if Independent Women's Forum wasn't the giveaway, then EPA and EPW certainly must be. Let's get to what it was that she wrote on December 25th, 2019. Now, understand that this kind of canned crap is designed specifically for overworked and underpaid and often underinformed newspaper employees who see something like this and say, hey, fuck, let's put it on the op-ed page. It's less work for us. It's Christmas, God damn it. I got a bowl of eggnog to get into, right? Right. And I dare say that this may have even come so turnkey that even the headline was written for the Palm Beach Post. Or maybe they just bogarted it straight up from, insidesources.com. Opinion, Gunasekera, Santa says coal shaming in U.S. needs to end. I was going to go into this on Friday on the Front Porch, but again, technology, screwed. So Mandy begins her op-ed piece by saying, it's safe to say that coal use today is significantly different than the coal use of a couple of decades ago. Really? We've gone from burning it to putting it on our breakfast cereal? I mean, that would be a significant change in coal use between two decades ago and now. Oh, no. Turns out we're still burning it. Two decades ago, we were burning it and poisoning people, and we're still burning it and poisoning people. Yay us, yay coal. Coal keeps the lights on. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. And she writes, President Donald Trump is getting coal in his stocking this year, but not for being naughty, rather as a sign of the beautiful, clean fuel that is a key part of our nation's energy story that has produced a record-breaking economy alongside world-leading environmental progress. Bullshit! I mean, I don't know. If I was to sit down and try to type something like that, I'd have to have a 1.75-liter bottle of Old Panther piss and a swirly straw at least 3 feet tall. And, like, loop it over one ear and just stick it in the corner of my mouth and just sit there and just suck on that straw and suck down that Old Panther piss, that nasty-ass stump liquor, just to get fucked up enough to be able to write a lie like that. If you're thinking this sounds completely counter to all you've heard about coal, then you have no doubt fallen prey to coal-shaming tactics, which have been on the rise in recent years. The reality is that coal is safe, reliable, affordable, and thanks to our engineers and innovators, increasingly clean. Ooh, Orwell time! Increasingly clean. That means it's still fucking filthy. It's still fucking poison. It'll still fucking kill you, but it's increasingly clean. Jesus, this is like something out of an old George Carlin routine. Now, less toxic. Means it's still toxic. Coal is safe? Ask those 29 miners who were incinerated past recognition as human beings at Upper Big Branch how safe coal is. Reliable? Well, I just got a desktop computer fried by that clean, reliable coal-fired energy just last night. Affordable? In another year, coal-fired energy, if it isn't already, in another year or two, coal-fired electricity will be more expensive than wind or solar. And in point of fact, if we were playing fair, it already is more expensive than coal, than wind or solar coal is. Because the coal industry always gets away with externalizing its costs. So, like, the tens of thousands of Americans who die from particulate-driven diseases from the filth that coal puts into the air every year, we don't count those in the cost. We don't count the 1,000 dead hillbillies a year in the cost. Coal is far more expensive than wind or solar. Because, see, 29 people don't get incinerated. Never. It's never happened. 29 people have not been incinerated beyond recognition as human beings related to any sort of accident with either wind turbines or solar panels. On the other hand, over the course of the last 100-plus years, in Appalachia alone, more than 100,000 human beings have had their lives stolen from them by coal. So I'm afraid I'm not a big Mandy Guna-Sekera fan, because Mandy Guna-Sekera is a goddamn shit-eating, filthy-ass Republican, right-wing, coal-worshipping liar. So no, coal use today is not significantly different from a coal use of two decades ago.
New pollution control devices have transformed a once dirty process into a cleaner.
There it is again, that comparative, the cleaner. It ain't clean, it's still filthy, but maybe it's a little less filthy. See, less filthy is not nearly as good of a selling slogan. Hey, coal, now less filthy. It doesn't work that way. ''90% reduction of mercury emissions, a 92% reduction of sulfur dioxide, and an 84% reduction of nitrous oxide, as compared to what? See, it's that comparison that always bites you in the ass. And balanced clean air regulations. Oh, that's that. I wonder if she's going to have to pay a royalty to Joe Manchin for using the word balanced. Because that's his favorite word. Balanced clean air regulations. When we say, when she says balanced clean air regulations, what she means is we're not putting the ability of human beings to breathe clean air first. We're balancing the ability of human beings to breathe clean air against the needs of coal barons to reap fortunes out of Appalachia and pump poison into the air. That's balance. When they both, you know, your air is going to be cleaner. But it's not going to be clean. And balance, the coal barons are going to get fucking rich. And then we get to under Trump, the standards for what qualifies as clean coal have also been raised. Earlier this year, he finalized the first ever legally viable plan for reducing greenhouse gas emissions for our nation's existing coal-fired power plants. You see the weasel words? You got them there? First ever legally viable plan. That's an Orwellian way of saying that Donald J. Trump, the J stands for genius, gutted the Obama-era regulations for creating an America that actually has clean air. Legally viable plan. Oh, these right-wingers and their viability arguments. God almighty. The Affordable Clean Energy Rule. Greenhouse gas emissions are projected to decrease by 34% once it's fully implemented. Compared to what? And then, of course, there's the fact that 34% reduction in toxic human killing filth isn't much of a reduction. There's only one answer. I know the coal industry doesn't like it. I know that I know the people who get their paychecks from the coal industry don't like it. There's only one answer for coal, and that is to leave what of it is in the ground still in the ground and stop burning the shit. I mean, okay, that's not mandatory. We can keep burning coal. We can burn lots and lots and lots of coal. And then we can stop being able to live as a species on this planet. Now, that doesn't mean that everything's going to die off. I'm sure there'll be some viruses and bacteria and things like that. And well, yeah, I'm on record as having predicted that 10 or 15 million years from now, there will be a sentient race of 6 foot tall cockroaches. And they're going to be amazing. They're going to be amazing. They'll have libraries and they'll develop the maybe they won't even have to write because they'll just communicate with each other with those filthy little fucking antenna of theirs. And they will worship
us as gods. Because we will be the ones who created the filthy, disgusting hellscape that allowed them to reach the apogee of their evolution. Yeah. But along the way, Mandy Gunasekera, who is definitely not on my Christmas card list, Mandy Gunasekera really pissed me off. Really.
The electricity produced by coal has expanded the scope of access to modern amenities like lighting, electric or gas cooking, air conditioning, life-saving heat, refrigeration for medicine and food, and clean water treatment systems. As a result, life expectancy has more than doubled, and global poverty has been reduced from over 40% to less than 10% of global population.
And that's coal, huh? Coal did that. Interesting how coal, what'd she say it did? This pisses me off. As a result
means of coal, as a result of burning coal, life expectancy has more than doubled.
That's really interesting. Because, see, if you go down to McDowell County, West Virginia, which has not only lots of electricity, but lots of coal, it also has lots of poverty. Because where once upon a time there were more than 100,000 people in McDowell County, West Virginia, there's next to nobody there now. Because once the coal industry's done with you, they leave you in the middle of the night, and you wake up all sticky, broken, confused. And you go, hey, but the coal industry said they loved us. Yeah, the money's not on the nightstand. Because they'll stiff you, too. But in McDowell County, West Virginia, a male human being born there, has less of a life expectancy than that of a peasant farmer in Guatemala, who, curiously enough, may not necessarily even have electricity. And somehow or another, the peasant farmer in Guatemala lives longer than the white male guy in McDowell County, West Virginia. On the other hand, the white male dude in McDowell County, West Virginia, has the same life expectancy as a male individual born in Haiti. And so I don't know where Mandy Gunasekera is getting her information. Yes, actually, I do, kind of. She's getting it from the coal industry, which means that it's a pastiche of lies and half-truths and wished for fables. As Vernon points out in the Facebook group, doubled life expectancy? Shouldn't they be living to 120 or 140 on average now? Yeah. And it's all because of coal. Not a word in here about the heating of the planet. It is more than a little bit humorous to me that this is published in the Palm Beach Post, which is not all that far from, say, Miami, where now, even without the impacts of the king tide, thanks to sea level rise, which, by the way, as a function of governmental edict in Florida, no state official is allowed to pronounce. Can't say sea level rise in the state of Florida if you work for the government.
Nonetheless, as a result of sea level rise in the state of Florida, when it rains, just when it rains, it floods. But because the global climate crisis it doesn't come with blinking neon lights, except for like hurricanes and things like massive storms, and even then it's too attenuated for the busy, hardworking people of Merca to much look up and say, hey, these don't look right. Those floods that happen every time it rains now? Well, that's just going to be, for people who were born in, say, 2000, who are just coming into early adulthood, shit, that's how it's always been. That's just normal. Here where I am right now, got up to 70 degrees yesterday. Next to the next to the last day of the year 2019. It was gray and it pissed the rain all day long. But it got up to 70 degrees. And then they issued the tornado watch in December in northwest Alabama. Tornado watch. And see, that's another one of those attenuated circumstances. We've been burning coal so long, it's just normal. By the time I was born, and, you know, hi, old fart. By the time I was born, they were burning coal on the banks of the Tennessee River to augment the hydroelectric power that was being created throughout the dam system of the Tennessee Valley Authority. So from the first moment that I opened my mouth and issued my first cry into the universe, well, I was breathing particulates of coal. And so has every other member of my generation, because it became ubiquitous. And we really don't have any meaningful data on how to compare a generation that did not breathe coal filth 24/7 with one that did. And I'd say it's safe to say that probably applies to, you know, I'm either early Gen X or late boomer. It applies to the rest of the boomers for certain. We know the negative impacts that coal has, for instance, on brain health. And so and my generation is the one identified in the studies that shows that we're the ones who are really going backwards on life expectancy. But none of that matters to Mandy Gunasekera, because she's on a mission, and her mission is to fluff the coal industry.
Despite significant increases in global food production that now has the capability to feed more than 10 billion people, and yet somehow or another we've got people starving to death on this planet. Never mind. A recent UN study found that we have no idea what a recent UN study means, because there's no annotation, there's no citation, there's no footnotes. Found that, and we don't even know that it's true. She could just be fucking lying, because after all, she's a white winger, she's a Republican, she's a maggot, and she's a member of the Independent Women's Forum. A recent UN study found that 821 million people lack access to adequate food, and one of the leading reasons is a lack of proper refrigeration complicated by inadequate power. Well, that's true. It's hard to run a refrigerator without electricity, but not having enough electricity is not directly attributable to not having fucking coal. The logical failings of this woman. God almighty. And somebody actually hired her at the EPA? And then at Environment and Public Works, but then again, if you're being hired into one of these Republican operations, brains is not at the top of the list. Guess what? Refrigerators can also be powered by the wind and by the sun. But not in Mandy Gunasekera's world. No, no, goddamn no, because she's the featured Moran on Moran Monday. Another study found that in energy-deprived areas, women and girls spend 200 million hours a day walking to get water. That's a big planet. A 200 million hour day. Oh, wait, she's counting up. Yeah. Well, there's lies and damned lies and statistics. Those are hours they could be spending going to school or building a new business or having the shit beaten out of them by their you know, husbands or religious authorities or, right. There's something that makes me think that if we bring electricity to the places where they practice female genital mutilation, it's not going to make them stop mutilating young girls. I'm just funny that way, I guess. The reality is that the prevalence of this situation could be drastically reduced with access to an affordable, reliable power source like coal, which is, you know what's more affordable and more reliable? Wind. Solar. You remember when, what was it, a couple of years ago, some young person received worldwide acclaim for developing a solar oven that was super simple and could change the way that life is lived in harsher climates and in particularly areas that are hard hit by starvation and poverty? Hint, it wasn't coal-fired. And the way people list things tells us something, too. She says, America's energy story is not just about coal. It's not even about any of the other vast resources. Vast resources, okay? Vast resources. Coal is so vast in Appalachia that they're down to blowing up 800 feet of mountain to get it to a seam of coal that's barely that thick. It's not even about any of the other vast resources like natural gas, oil, and nuclear. Natural gas, oil, and nuclear are, according to Mandy Gunasekera, vast. But renewables are only steadily growing. Sun in sky. Sun hot. Sun burn several billion more years. Sun never send bill. Sun vast. Jesus. But in moments like this, do you see why we're so hamstrung in this country? We can't make the progress we need to make because there are people who are making money out of telling lies like this. We continue to develop new technologies and better processes to reduce the environmental effects of energy extraction, development, and use. Well, they haven't done much in terms of reducing the effects of the extraction of coal in Central Appalachia. They haven't done dick. Arguably, they've gone backwards. Development? Mm-mm. Use? Well, we're back to that cleaner. Every time I go to Beckley, you know, the West Virginia Coal Association isn't as flush with cash as it used to be. Still got plenty of money. But
As I drive in, I always check to make sure that that billboard's still there, because they may not have the money they used to, but they can still afford to keep that fucking billboard up. Two of them in Beckley that I know of. Big black background, white letters. Coal. Clean, carbon neutral coal. Carbon neutral carbon. Yep. Again, swirly straw, meat bottle. But then again, the people who think coal is carbon neutral probably start counting with zero too. And so for the little kiddies reading the Palm Beach Post out there, Mandy Gunasekera closes by saying, Santa understands the vital role coal has and will continue to play in human flourishing. Jesus Christ, can you imagine Christmas time and being Mandy Gunasekera's kid? No, baby, just to make it Christmassy, we're going to burn some coal in the fireplace and turn and close the damper. Right. Santa understands the vital role coal has and will continue to play in human flourishing. See, that too is a true statement. Coal will play a role in human flourishing. Do you know what role coal will play in human flourishing? Making humanity stop flourishing. You know, you can be in a movie, and it can be the feel-good hit of the year. And you can say, hey, I was in the movie that was the feel-good hit of the year. On the other hand, if you played the villain in the feel-good hit of the year, everybody hates your fucking guts. But you had a role in the feel-good hit of the year. They are devils. They are masters at misinformation and disinformation. Regardless of their naughty or nice status, all little boys and all little girls deserve a brighter, healthier, and more prosperous future. And the path for that, and this is the part where I know that there's no real God up in the sky, because a lightning bolt just would have gone. The path for that starts with a reliable, safe, and clean source of energy. See, again, a true statement. A true statement. The future of humanity is absolutely dependent on a reliable, safe, and clean source of energy. Hint. It ain't coal. And while we're at it, it's not that noted bridge fuel. It's not frack gas. I think we can even go so far as to safely say that it isn't any hydrocarbon. 2029, baby. It doesn't matter if you count with starting with zero or one. We got less than 10 years to get our shit together. And the biggest part of whether we get our shit together is going to be determined by what happens between now and November 3rd. Of 2020. Okay? That's how dire the stakes are. Because if Donald Trump is reelected, the chances of doing what we need to do on a global scale by 2029, while narrow enough as they are,
plummet immediately to zero. It simply will not happen. And so for anybody out there who is watching the Democratic political process unfold, anybody out there who still has in their vocabulary, "I'm going to vote my conscience," or "the lesser of two evils is still evil," well, understand right here and right now, you're a problem. You're as big a problem as Donald Trump is. You have to get one monster out before you can start. You know what? When the bull's in the china shop, you don't bring in more china before you've gotten the bull out. I, for one, would like to have my perfect political candidate as the nominee of the Democratic Party in 2020. Here's the funny part. That candidate does not exist at all. I mean, even if it was me, I'd still find a way to be disappointed in me. Because there's nothing in this world that is perfect. Except perhaps for Nitwit Nero, who is a perfect idiot. Batten down the hatches. Tighten everything up. And get ready to vote for somebody that is far from perfect. And do not let the perfect be the enemy of the good. We saw where "I'm voting my conscience" and "the lesser of two evils is still evil" got us in 2016. For the sweet love of bleeding Jesus, or whatever, can we please not do that again? And shame on the Palm Beach Post for not telling anybody that they were being fed bullshit by some, because there's nothing in that bio that would get Emery and Marvelline sitting there in the double wide in their matching Barca loungers to look up and say, "I think that there's a Republican." And if you can't tell the political differences, and then you read horse shit like what she wrote, well, it's designed to make you swallow it whole. And remember how she's a visiting feller at the Independent Women's Forum? And I said more on that in a minute. Well, ain't that the damn truth? Randy in PA said, "It's like I always say, Bob, God's a few lightning bolts short of a quiver." And one might go so far as to say it's entirely empty. Meanwhile, as the broadcast continues apace, up over, down under, around the 2 p.m. mark in Sydney, Australia, Robert writes, "We're heading for 104 degrees Fahrenheit around 2 p.m. here in Sydney, where it's already December 31st, which might be an issue for the thousands of people heading for the harbor to watch tonight's New Year's Eve fireworks. Heat exhaustion and so forth. Many people have called for the New Year's Eve fireworks to be canceled, considering the country is on fire," which, and that's not, God, it's so pathetic. I saw a video of poor little koalas, who are not known for being the friendliest of animals. They're cute and cuddly at a distance, but no. But they're so parched that they're coming up to humans and begging a drink of water. They usually don't have to do that. They're endangered as it is, and they're going to be more so when this latest round of fires is over with, because thousands may have died in Australia's bushfires. Oh, and by the way, their right wing, Australia's right wing prime minister, Scott Morrison. Yeah, he, while Australia burned, he partied in Hawaii. Hang loose, dude. Anyway, Robert says, many people have called for the New Year's Eve fireworks to be canceled, considering the country's on fire. I.e., show a little respect to the volunteer firefighters who left their jobs and have been fighting fires for weeks. Speaking of our prime minister, what's his name? Now, Robert, you're not allowed to call him what's his name if I know his name's fucking Morrison. He took off for a holiday in Hawaii with his family as the country burnt. When people found out, he rushed back, not embarrassed at all. Yes, I'm here to save the day, and where can I put these falls at? He's the prime minister who brought a lump of coal into Parliament House and who continues to push as much as of it as possible. And it has nothing to do with his rich friends who mine coal. The latest 4,000 people in Victoria have evacuated to the Mallacoota Beach as wind changes drive fires toward their community. Signed, Robert from Australia, Robert from Oz, adding, of course, it's got nothing to do with climate change. Yeah, right. No, of course not. And by the way, I mentioned at the top of the program that to finish the year off, we had $510 in fundraising to go. There is a $25 challenge on the table that has been on the table for almost an hour and has gone unresponded to. That's a chance to turn your 25 into 50. And that'll get us down to 460. But it's awaiting action. So if we could please take care of Ralph's challenge, because Ralph's was kind enough to make it in the name of her two fuzzy little fur babies now. Brand new kitty cats. Please respond. A bunch of emails have rolled in while I was filibobstering. Ron and Raleigh, the IWF. he says, you know who used to have the woman that was president of this group of Harridans? The IWF is about as anti-woman as they can be. Yeah, it's the Independent Women's Forum. But you know how it started? And this tells you really all you could possibly ever need to know about the Independent Women's Forum, the women's forum that's not independent, that has a guy on their board, that IWF. They were born in the AstroTurf, and they have stayed in the AstroTurf ever since. The IWF was born as Women's for Clarence Thomas. Wish I was kidding. I'm not. Back when Clarence Thomas was having his confirmation hearings to be a Supreme Court justice, and people like Orrin Hatch and Joe Biden were taking Clarence Thomas's side ahead of that of Anita Hill. Back when we were learning about Clarence Thomas and pubes on Coke cans and porn movies and sexual harassment of women who were employed in alongside him. Well, there were some women out there, or allegedly some women out there, at least some who were willing to have their names used, and they created a group called Women for Clarence Thomas. And when you find a grift that works, you don't just fold up camp and leave town because Clarence Thomas got confirmed to the Supreme Court, where at the time he was kind of unique because there was only one
there was only one credibly accused sexual abuser on the court. Now there's two. But you don't just give up on a grift like that. And they didn't. So they changed the name to the Independent Women's Forum. And they've been running their scam ever since. And as the song we play on Wednesdays says, and it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hey, big thanks to Gary. Thank you, Gary, so very much indeed. That's Ralph's challenge has been met. That gets us down to $460. If we want to cut it in half and just have $255 to worry about tomorrow, well, that means we got to raise another $205. So thank you, Gary. Thank you. And thank you, Ralphs, for making the challenge. Ralphs pointing out the Independent Women's Forum. And here I thought it was founded by Phyllis Schlafly. No, that's a different group of toxic right-wing women. Flavio, being an academic at heart, went looking to find out a little bit more about Mandy Gunasekera. Energy45.org. God damn it, Bob, here's all you need to know about her. She's the founder and president. The Energy 45 Fund is a Jackson, Mississippi-based, well, of course it is, 501c4 nonprofit educational organization dedicated to informing the public about the environmental and economic gains made under the Trump administration. It's maggot through and through. President Trump's bold domestic energy dominance agenda has brought both economic prosperity and cleaner air and water. By the way, Flint still doesn't have clean water. Neither does a whole bunch of Appalachia. Shh. Energy 45 supports and promotes these policies as well as a broader push toward corporative federalism. Mandy Gunasekera is a veteran Republican climate and energy strategist. Okay, that doesn't mean she ever served in the United States military. I just about guarantee she did. And communicator. Most recently, under President Trump, Mandy served in the Environmental Protection Agency as the principal deputy assistant administrator for the Office of Air and Radiation. Air and radiation? I bet she was in favor of both. Can we have some more radiation in the air, please? While at EPA, she spearheaded many of the Trump administration's greatest energy policy achievements, as if any of those were great. Mandy was the chief architect of the withdrawal from the Paris Climate Accord. You know, I wouldn't put that in print if I was her. So Mandy is an open enemy of the ability of human beings to continue to survive as a species on this planet. And she orchestrated the repeal-replace of the Clean Power Plan. Hence the use of that bullshit Orwellian phrase earlier about legally viable plans. A sixth-generation Mississippian, well, more questions answered, Mandy has returned home with her husband, Surya, and their two small children, Ryder and Scout. Really, Scout? Really, Mandy? To promote the Trump energy agenda in Mississippi and beyond. Ew-wee! And the checks just keep a-clearing. Holy mackerel. Ugh. And so shame on the Palm Beach Post. Shame on Mandy Gunasekera. And shame on anybody who doesn't do their due diligence and falls for the kind of disinformative, bilious garbage that woman, alongside the poison she wants to pump into the air,
pumps into people's brains.
All right, here's a fighting chance for us to at least knock out one part of the evening's fundraising. We have an anonymous offer to engage in the and offer up the there was a lump of coal in Trump's Christmas stocking.
He was ecstatic.
Yeah. $100 challenge. There's $100 on the table, courtesy of an anonymous friend of the program. If met, it will double your money. It's the there was a lump of coal in Trump's Christmas stocking. He was ecstatic. $100 challenge. And also to finish out the year, and this is awesome, there is another challenge on the table, courtesy of Darlene in Connecticut, a founding member of the Sorority of Leans and an original member of Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society. This challenge doesn't have a name, so we'll just call it the Let's End 2019 on an up note challenge. So there it is, $200 in challenges on the table. Meet that. If we come up with 10 at 20, 20 at 10, what have you, meet that, and we add in the other $50, that's $450. We are only 60. If we meet both challenges, we will only be $60 away from finishing the year and the month. If we do all of that this evening, then we will have fundraising free New Year's Eve program. And we are off and running. There's only $175 left to go in the challenge. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you. All right. And we've got about an hour and a half to get it done in. Oh, by the way, earlier I was talking about the air pollution from coal. And our buddy James in Illinois simply observes, coal vaping? Listen, if the coal industry thought they could get away with it, they would do it yesterday. Without a doubt. Flavio, in regard to Mandy Gunasekera, said, in the age of deliberate disinformation, the reader must ferret out if taffy is being distributed, as Mark Twain would say. Yeah, taffy was a stand-in for... Yeah, right, you get the idea. All right, so like I said, we're almost to the halfway point of the program. I have filibobstered an hour and 23 minutes into the program. And we've still got other stuff. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, we do. And we'll try to get to a good bit of them. Holy cow. I have tremendous news indeed. Both challenges have been met, and we have Scott in Wisconsin to thank for it. Thank you, Scott. James jumped in, and so by my calculations, that leaves, I think, another $25 and we're done. Thank you, James. Thank you tremendously, Scott. You are the author of two, count them. You and Darlene and our anonymous friend are personally responsible for two heavy shows on me.
Thank you very much indeed. I cannot say thank you enough. Yeah, if you were watching on Facebook, you saw me go and do that take. That's magnificent. Okay, so going in the order in which the phone calls were received, let's run over to the Skype line real quick. Are you there, Scott?
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Well, you know, happy New Year's Eve Eve.
New Year's Eve Eve.
I mean, isn't that what it is?
The official designation.
I believe so.
I got that from my old radio buddy in Kansas City, Mike Murphy, the late great. He used to revel on his program on the eves, Christmas Eve Eve and New Year's Eve Eve, the night before
right.
of each of those. God, he was a great radio talent. Geez. Some of my happiest moments back in the 80s when I lived back there were spent listening to his call-in show. And he got, as many people did in the 90s and the early aughts, got kind of screwed over by corporate radio and retired. That's what they called it anyway. Good old Murph. He established the St. Patrick's Day March in Kansas City back in the early 70s, mid 70s or something. One day he orchestrated a cattle drive because Kansas City was known as a big, that we had the stockyards that weren't quite as big as Chicago's stockyards, but they were a pretty good size back years ago. And he decided one day, he took it upon himself, since that was part of our heritage, to orchestrate a cattle drive. And there was like 12, 15 head of cattle going down the main street in downtown Kansas City with Mike. I don't know if he was on. Yeah. I don't know if he was on. He may have been on horseback, although I think he was in a wagon of some sort. A horse
would have been better
wagon.
If he'd been riding an ox like Mongo.
Oh, yeah, that'd be. And then one time he put on an aluminum foil hat and went up to the tallest building in downtown Kansas City at the time, which I guess that back then was the Power and Light Building, in order to see if he could contact the aliens. He was a trip. He was a true trip.
But I'll bet that's not why you called.
No, that is not why I called. That is not. There are a couple of reasons. God, I didn't make notes, and I meant to. I think of these things. The drought and the fires down in Australia, whenever I see the footage, the news film tape on TV, I think of that 1959 film On the Beach. With Fred Astaire and Ava Gardner and Gregory Peck and who else? Norman.
Fantastic movie.
Norman is that yes, Mother Burt Bates. Norman, who is that? Anthony Perkins.
Yes.
And they're down
Anthony,
there.
Anthony Norman. Yes, Mother Bates Perkins.
Yeah, they're down in Australia because there's been some sort of. Some cooler heads did not prevail, and in the rest of the world, there was like a massive nuclear exchange between nations, and it caused the Van Allen radiation belt or something to light up, and they found that the safest place from the radiation was down under, until finally it wasn't. Sorry about the spoiler there, kids. But, you know, it's that old, Paul Harvey used to have a saying, you can run, but you can't hide.
Right.
So I say all that to say, basically, I feel so bad for the animal life and the people life and the quality of life, because it does not help your breathing. I mean, we found that out here in California earlier this year. Luckily, it wasn't so bad down where I live. But north of here and east of here, And then way up in the upper part of the state, you're not a, it's bad enough that you lose your dwelling and all of your possessions and you become displaced. And it's bad enough that it strikes terror into the heart. And it's bad enough that it's like probably preventable, or at least you can reduce the chances of it happening or happening badly. But it just does not do your psyche a bit of good to be under that kind of clear and present pressure.
No, you know? And that's why, for instance, if you live in a place like Appalachia and you do the kind of work that, well, Vernon was in the chat room earlier and Bo was, if you do the kind of work that they do, you have to spend a lot of time on what's called self-care, because it will eat you alive. Because you're not like everybody else who are just going about their daily lives until one day they wind up at the doctor and the doctor says, well, hello, cancer? And you go, well, why? No. Because we know what's going on. We know what's being done. That's what creates the fury and the urgency. And it'll make a wreck of you. It well and truly will.
And everybody is getting to participate in a different form of that kind of relentless aggravation and pressure and psychic injury, if you will, psychological and psychic industry, ever since Trump was sworn into office. Because it is nonstop. There is no end to it. I sent you a link to a thing that I got from the New Yorker. Someone has coined a German word to express the impact of Trump's presence and activities and antics on our daily existence. And you can read that at your leisure and share it, you know, if you decide to at some later point. But we're all victims of this. We're all victims of this. We're all being held hostage to the whims and the notions and the poorly organized mind of this fool, this tangerine-hued hulking dollop, is my new designation.
Dollop is a good word.
And the other day I came up that he was the love child, so-called, of a tryst between Hitler, baby Huey, and a traffic cone, which I think is probably as apt a description as you're going to find in this man's world. But it's just remarkable. And there's a certain segment of the population that's just chomping at the bit to do it again, Bob. You know? And it is of paramount importance that we do everything that we possibly can and then some, not to have four more years of this, because we won't survive it. Nothing will ever, 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 ever be the same, if there is anything.
No, but Mandy Gunasekera is just down there in Jackson, Mississippi, and she and her husband make make them some pimento cheese on game day, and they just sit on the couch with their children and eat pimento cheese and crackers, and they don't worry about any of that old environmental stuff. And she couldn't find West Virginia with a GPS if it was tattooed on her ass with both hands. Because she don't give a fuck, because the check keeps clearing.
Do you ever watch Rachel Maddow?
Oh, yeah, from time to time.
The one bone that I have to pick with her, I normally am in full agreement with anything that she comes up with in her evening broadcast. But one of the things that just rubs me the wrong way, she talks about the spiraling out of newspapers, you know, printed newspapers in this country, And she says that we should all subscribe to our local paper, which, by the way, it's now safe to do that here in San Diego, because the paper, the San Diego Union Tribune, is no longer, and hasn't been for a couple of years, it's no longer owned by either Doug Manchester, who helped finance the anti, you know, the Proposition 8 madness of a decade or so ago, or before that it was the Copley family. Is it Copley or Copley? Another right-wing family who owned a newspaper back in the day, which at one point the paper was edited by, was it Herb Klein, who was Nixon's communications director? Do you know that name?
I recognize it, but it doesn't just leap right out at me.
Yeah. Well, in other words, the newspaper, even though it's no longer owned by reactionaries, I grew up reading the Washington Post, okay? And while I wouldn't subscribe to the hard copy of it, I would consider subscribing to the digital edition of it, but for one thing. And that one thing is they include columnists and opinion people like Hugh Hewitt and others of his ilk, and I will not subsidize that bullshit.
Nope.
I will not willingly pay a nickel, even though other newspapers carry these columns, these syndicated columns, and that isn't that what this woman is, an op-ed person?
Or no. She's worse than that. She's a flack. She's a shill. She's a hack. She runs a 501c4 whose only purpose in life is to, from a tax-free standpoint, tell lies about how good Trump is for people's ability to live on planet Earth.
Well, what was the nature of the piece in the Palm Beach Post? Was it a column, or was she quoted in an article?
No. It was just an opinion piece. These right wing hack shops are really, really talented at ginning out this crap, and then lazy ass editors say, "Oh fuck, put it on the op-ed page. I'm getting drunk."
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I missed that. I missed that. But anyway, you get my point.
Well, we got a note in from Lady B in regard to that and you.
Okay.
Subject line: this Mandy you're talking about. Lady B says, "Dude, her behavior isn't just an ideology; it's her fucking way of life. When she prays, she actually believes she's praying to a guy who looks like Jeffrey Hunter. If her church told her washing her hair in yellow-colored water every day would give her the ability to speak in tongues, she would do it. No lie is too far for her. Hypocrisy is the oath doctors take. She believes women have periods because Eve sinned and ate the apple. Her husband has a younger lover and the pool boy. She's shooting basketballs at invisible nets and congratulating herself like she's Stephon Curry. I'm sorry, I'm not at my best analogy-wise right now," Lady B says. "People like that woman scare me. She will burn this motherfucker down before she gives up her matches, and she will never suffer anything of consequence during her lifetime. Anyway, Scott, you're awesome. I caught the Paul Harvey joke, and Bob, honey, I don't know how you do it, but you always seem to pull through. Folks are inspired by you, and they don't want to see you fail. Thanks for doing that thing you do." Signed, Lady B. Bringing her A game. Don't let her kid you. She always brings the A game.
Thank you, Lady B, for the kind acknowledgement. I appreciate that.
And meanwhile, Randy in PA says, "I don't want that dollop on my mincemeat pie."
but see, here's the deal. And Lady B is on to it. She knows what the deal is, okay? And you know, and a lot of the Horn family knows, and all that. Anything said or thought or expressed by a person who converses regularly with non-existent and or invisible entities, anything else that they say or do or think beyond that becomes immediately suspect. And maybe I'm painting with too broad a brush, and maybe there are people on our side who are like true believers or whatever, but I don't make the distinction. And I'm sorry, maybe that makes me wrong and stuff.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I'll have to run that risk.
Oh, hey, Scott, let me swap out with you for a minute. I'm going to pot you down, and I'm going to pot the stress line up.
All right. Well, when you come back, I also want to talk about hot dogs and talk about how we count the decade. But yeah, I'll wait.
Okay, I appreciate it because I just checked in, and we've got Cindy, who is the beloved of our good friend Ken in Hawaii. Hey, Cindy, how are you?
Hi, Bob. I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm thrilled to death to be talking to you.
Right on. Well, thank you. Same here. We love listening to you every day.
How are y'all doing out there? And my best happy holidays and happy New Year's wishes to both you and Ken.
Thank you very much. And yeah, happy holidays to you guys too. And hopefully we'll all have a really good year this year. And, you know, we'll get some positive changes going on.
Yeah, 2019 was kind of cruising. Really. It was kind of cruising along, and then we hit August, and everything went to shit for our family. I mean, it's just, yeah.
I hear you. I know we've been thinking about you, and I tell you, it's always something, huh? It's like nothing can just move forward.
Never a dull moment. Never a dull moment.
I figure, you know, we've had our ups and downs too here at the end of the year, but I was like, well, I'm hoping we're getting them all out of the way this year, and so in a couple more days, we'll just start fresh, and it'll be a better year.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just had a few little things I wanted to say, and, you know, I won't stay on the line too long. But
take all the time you need.
I feel like, right on, thank you. Bernie, I think, is pretty much as close to a perfect candidate as we can get for the left, those of us who, you know, believe in the environment and medical and equality for everybody, for education. And, you know, I think he's got a strong track record, and he's been non-wavering and for, you know, ever since he started. And he's been realistic on the needs and the desires of the people. And, you know, I kind of feel like when we keep promoting win by any means possible, that we're kind of cheating ourselves to some degree because, you know, I really don't feel that Biden is the winner or there could be. I don't feel like he's strong enough, and I don't feel like he has, you know, the full interest that I and many of my, you know, friends, including my husband, how, you know, that we really believe and want. You know, I think he's too corporate, and I think that, you know, now is the time to promote the candidates that are going to bring true change. And I kind of feel like if the media and everyone keeps, you know, to too much degree saying that we should win by any means, that we're going to lose, and that it would be very hard for me to bite the bullet again and vote for somebody that I just don't think is truly representing what we need in our country. And, you know, you don't always win when you stand up for things, but, you know, I feel like, I don't know, at least we were trying.
Well, by no means is Grandpa Joe my first choice either.
Yeah.
But my main choice is the wrong word because it can be confusing because of the primaries. My main right. choice is not Donald Trump. Because I acknowledge the reality of climate change, and I acknowledge the reality of the degree to which this crisis exists. I cannot afford, and I do not believe that humanity can afford, the existential disaster that four more years of Donald Trump will bring. The problem here is that, I'm not talking about my feelings here, Cindy. You would be surprised at the millions of people who are on the Democratic side of things who despise despise Bernie. I mean, they don't just not like him. They hate him with the heat of a million suns. And
they do. He's for true change that I think so many people can't let go of.
Well, there's just there are people out there, Cindy, who aren't progressives like we're progressive. I mean, they just aren't. The fact that the candidacy of Pete Buttigieg and Joe Biden and Amy Klobuchar, who are all scrambling for relevancy and status in Iowa, tells us something. And here's the ugliest fact out of all of it. I don't know when your primary is in Hawaii. My primary in West Virginia is the second Tuesday in May, I think. Mm-hmm. So unless this thing turns into something more than what it is, my primary vote does not matter as much as a tinker's dam. It's important that I vote, but the decisions will likely, I'd say it's north of 75% that we will know who the nominee is by the time anybody cares about what I want for a nominee.
Right.
Okay. And so, you know, a bunch of white people in Iowa and a bunch of white people in New Hampshire and a few black folks who are deeply conservative in South Carolina and some smattering of Hispanic folks in Nevada are going to pick, for all intents and purposes, are going to pick the nominee of the Democratic Party. And so when I say I'm voting for whoever the nominee is, I say that in all sincerity. That does not mean, however, that I think they are all equal. I do not. I'm a progressive. Right. I retain progressive and liberal values. And, you know, right now, one of the more interesting things, and again, I'm leery of national polling, because when you just take these national polls, you get a snapshot of nothing, because we do not elect president. We're not allowed to elect the president directly. We are not allowed to let democracy elect the president. And so a national poll is kind of sketchy. But national polls show both Bernie and Grandpa Joe beating Trump by 4 or 5 points. If you fall back to like Elizabeth Warren and Pete Buttigieg, they beat Trump by 1.5 to 2 points if the election was held tomorrow.
Yes, and which is the closer the margin, the scarier it is, because we all know the voting machines and the counts are not what they should be.
Right, these things rely on narrow margins because it's hard to steal a landslide. So the real key, once we know who the nominee is to jump in with both feet and beg people to get out and vote. Do everything in our power to get out the vote. We can do whatever it is we're going to do with any Democrat in the White House. And we can protest. We can sit in. We can use all the tools in the activist toolbox. But the thing is, none of it matters worth a damn to anybody in the Trump administration, let alone Trump himself. Does this make sense?
Yeah. I understand where you're coming from. I just get really tired of, you know, we can also do a lot. We can do protesting and things and you know, promote what we our interests. So we're blue in the face, and with the wrong Democrats in there, we're not going to get what our country needs. We're going to get more of the same. And then, you know, I have a really hard time always just saying, well, you know, we just got to bite the bullet and do whatever, because I don't know, you know, it's if we have a Democrat in there that's being blocked by the Senate or by, you know, all the Republicans not cooperating anyway, then, you know, we're not making progress on any front.
Well, that's the other problem. We've got to maintain the House and we've got to take the Senate. Okay.
Yep.
So, you know, as much as I love Hawaii, you're not going to be much of a help in either one of those, except for the fact that you've got to, at least Tulsi's not running. So you've got a chance to vote for somebody that might actually represent you, depending on where you are. I don't know how many members of the House Hawaii has.
I'm not certain on that either.
But we've got to have the House. We've got to have the Senate. And because, you know, that's who's in charge of writing laws, not presidents.
Yeah.
But there's no doubt, I hope we are both in firm agreement, that there is no doubt that we cannot run the risk of four more years of Donald Trump. You know, this isn't just a matter of not being political anymore. This is life or death. I mean,
yes,
and
I would never vote for Donald Trump in a million years. It's just, I really hope that people can, see the light prior to and get a real candidate in there, because it will be very difficult for me to just keep voting on, you know, the lesser of two evils. And
I mentioned that earlier in the program. We can't even afford to let that phrase come out of our mouths. We went down that road in 2016 and look where it got us.
Well, yeah, but I think, you know, we got that way because we didn't have the proper candidate in there to begin with. People weren't giving Bernie a fair chance, and inside the own Democratic Party, you know, it was like a sense of entitlement. It was Hillary's time. And, you know, I want a woman president. Heck yeah. But I didn't want her. I don't think she was the right woman. You know, if Elizabeth Warren gets in there, terrific. You know, I'm well more, same mindset as her than I, you know, would have been for Hillary. I did bite the bullet and had to vote for Hillary, but, you know, I feel like, we shouldn't have even had to be doing that. You know, I just feel like the Democratic Party.
Well, you know, Bernie jumped in way late. And even when he announced his candidacy, he said, this is going to be a huge long shot and we're probably not going to make it. Okay. One of the things out of all the bad blood that came out of that is that, you know, they said, you know, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, oh, those emails. Those emails were only sent after Bernie was mathematically eliminated. Okay, in like May of 2016, it was blown up into far more than what it was. And I say that as someone who was Bernie all the way down to the ground.
Yeah.
But I do enough homework to know when I'm being manipulated for somebody else's purposes.
Right.
And, you know, the fact of the matter is Hillary had good liberal bona fides. But we were victimized. Remember, the Russians weren't just out there saying great stuff about Donald Trump. The Russians were out there attacking. They were attacking Bernie. They were attacking Hillary, and their purpose was to put the voting base at each other's throats. And they succeeded beyond their wildest dreams. You had the Bernie people calling her Hitlery. I mean, I saw it with my own eyes. And you had the Hillary people calling. Created the Bernie Bros, and that's why in this cycle I have declared that I am going to be above it all. I'm not going to endorse one candidate over the other. When one of them screws up, I'll talk about it. I've got a great big whopping honking Pete Buttigieg screw up of epic proportions, but then again, he seems to do that a lot, and he always does it in regard to issues of race.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a privilege thing. But I mean, I became real leery when Pete Buttigieg said we need more Supreme Court justices like Anthony Kennedy. I mean, he really honest to Jesus said that in front of a microphone.
Oh boy.
And you know, I was right out the door and eating dirt and running rabbits. The justice whose son was the billion dollar loan officer for Donald Trump, who inexplicably resigned from office out of nowhere and created a Supreme Court vacancy for Donald Trump, and his son was the only guy who would loan Donald Trump money when the rest of the banking world was going, "Oh no, you're a little hot, Don."
Right.
So, you know, there's all of that in just rolled together.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be in for a ride, that's for sure. So.
You buy your ticket, you take your chances. Strap on, because this one's going to be a little strap in, because this one's going to be a little bumpy.
Exactly. We're hoping, that we're going to come out of it still in the seat.
Yeah, well, hopefully with the aircraft intact and we don't corkscrew in. That's really a big key to the benefits plan. Cindy, it's a pleasure talking to you. Tell Ken we said hi.
Will do. Thank you. And you guys have a great New Year's Eve tomorrow and a great New Year this coming year.
All right. Thanks so much. Take care.
Thank you, Bob. Aloha.
Aloha. Bye now. I don't get to say aloha very often. That's really cool. So here we have reached up toward the end of the second hour of the program. Thanks everybody for turning this into. We've got fundraising free radio for the rest of the program and for New Year's Eve, which is just freaking awesome. Thank you so much. Randy in PA reminding us, historical quotation, you have to consider Stalin's famous quotation when you talk about democracy. It's not who votes, but who counts the votes. Yeah, I've seen it put a number of different ways. I don't care who votes, I care who counts the votes. Yeah. Darlene in Connecticut says, I know a Democrat who is totally a faux progressive who truly believes that Bernie is a communist. Yeah. This privileged rich white woman now wants to be the president of our local Democratic town committee. Thank goodness I resigned in protest from the DTC in November as their treasurer and member due to behind the scenes shenanigans in contravention to the voters of my small town's wishes. Long story, but Democrats can pull this unethical and undemocratic shit too. Oh, there is no doubt of it. And, you know, some of them will pull it any time at all. And you got to remember, the only reason we didn't find out about that, what was in that 3-foot-thick opposition research notebook on Bernie, was because Bernie wasn't the nominee. They will commie, and I mean, look, they're doing it already. Jesus Christ, Nitwit Nero's out there calling Nancy Pelosi a socialist. Please, stop it. I mean, this is a woman who supports for-profit health care, okay? Hard to be a socialist and do that, isn't it? And it's worth noting that it doesn't matter who it is. If it's Grandpa Joe, he's going to be commie Grandpa Joe. It's just how it is. And it's maddening. Absolutely maddening. So, I have not mentioned, and with the second hour coming to a close, I should. I don't pray. We know I don't pray. I thought it would do any good, I might, but I've never seen it do any good, so I don't. But if I was a praying person, I'd be praying for John Lewis, Representative John Lewis, Congressman John Lewis. Over the weekend, he announced that he has been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And that's one of those where you announce it and then 2 weeks later you find out, you know, it's one of those where you announce it and you don't get a hell of a lot of time to plan your funeral. I hope that is not true in regard to Representative John Lewis. He and Elijah Cummings were the clearest moral voices that this Congress had in either house. And having lost Elijah Cummings, we can ill afford to lose John Lewis. First thing that popped into my mind when I saw the announcement about his cancer was, I hope somebody in his office has called Ruth Bader Ginsburg's office and said, where did she go to deal with her pancreatic cancer? Because, knock wood, she's beaten it a couple of times. And that just doesn't happen a lot. So wherever Ruth Bader Ginsburg's been getting treatment, somebody please send John Lewis there too. Please. Randy in PA says, I saw Chuck Todd debunking a Trump lie over the weekend on Press the Meat, and his head didn't explode. Yeah, Chuck had a bad week last week when he confessed that it may have been a function of naivete that led him to be as credulous as he was in regard to this administration. Simon Pure and Simon Simple. That's our Chuck Todd. But seriously, best wishes. Best wishes. Best hopes for Congressman Lewis. Indeed, indeed. So let me go back to the stress line. Somebody is there. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob?
Yeah.
Hey, happy new year from the blind, Bob.
Hey, what do you know, Dave?
I'm sorry to hear about Representative Lewis.
Yeah, it didn't do me any good.
Well, my sister is celebrating her birthday tomorrow at Disney World with most of the family. So hopefully she'll have a happy birthday. And if I don't hear about Chuck Todd for the rest of the year, I'll be a happy man. Unfortunately, he and I share a birthday. I'm a couple of years older than he is, I called to wish the Horn Family Community Congregation a happy new year, and I'll be hanging out with Christine tomorrow, who
Happy New Year to Christine.
She's cutting back on her work schedule. Things have been going pretty bad for her. She got lost in an area of town, and she said, at 60 years old, I don't need to be keeping up with these kids. So she's willingly cutting back on her hours. And she's finally learning take some time for herself, which I'm glad. I really am. But I got an interesting present for Christmas.
Yeah?
Evidently, my mother, who was a great sewer, crafter of all kinds, had crocheted a bunch of scarves for the kids, the grandkids, the great-grandkids. They would get something from her after she passed. So my sister gave us all a scarf from Mom. And today's the anniversary of her, or yesterday was the anniversary of her death. And it was kind of weird, you know, the whole holiday thing, because the last time I saw her was on Christmas last year. And it was just kind of surreal. Being at my sister's and my dad being there, and Mom not being there. But as I said in an earlier email, Kathy kept the knives away from Dad and I, so there was no bloodletting on Christmas.
Hey.
Besides, he didn't have his hearing aids in anyway. Even if I said something to him, he wouldn't have listened, so.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
I'm just curious. As warm as it is down here, as warm as it is down here, and as warm as it's been back up at home in the hills and hollers, are y'all freezing out there in Taliban, Indiana?
No, it's been getting up into the 70s.
Son of a gun! That's
here
just...
in Taliban, Indianapolis, and this is December, damn it.
Oh, I know. We didn't get the tornado warning again last night, but we did get the watch.
But you know, I don't know who we pissed off in China to hoax us like this, but damn.
There's some mean bastards.
You know, you were talking about breathing coal fumes. I had a science teacher when I was a kid who lit a lump of bitumen coal right there. And he was talking about how they had a coal-fired stove when he was a kid.
Bituminous?
I swear to God, he put his nose right up to it and started sniffing. And I read recently that... there's more radiation in the atmosphere because of the burning of coal and petroleum and the mining of uranium.
Well, coal is radioactive.
And there's been an increase in cancers since the mining of all that. I mean, there's been mining of coal for centuries, but it's been small scale. It's not been on the massive industrial scale that you see now, or even 50 years ago. This is just something that people are willingly ignoring because they're paid to ignore it. I'm sure if there was an alternative to the coal industry that was viable enough in West Virginia and it was allowed to flourish, you'd be seeing some very pissed off hillbillies.
Well, no, that's the whole thing. We've never been allowed to have a real economy because you can't have a real economy if coal is where you are. Coal can't compete against a diverse economy.
I remember in 78 during the blizzard, the governor of Indiana federalized the National Guard to guard coal ships because there is some coal mining in Indiana.
Oh, and more than just some. I mean, remember the if I'm not mistaken, I think the UMWA was born there. And Mother Jones is either Mother Jones is either buried in Illinois or Indiana.
I'll have to look that one up. I was reading about Mother Jones here a couple of weeks ago. And she, what we need are a couple more Mother Joneses out there. You know.
Well, the problem is, by the time the miners started wanting to shoot back, they told her she'd lost her nerve. And they turned their back on the one woman who had never turned her back on them.
Well, and how much of that was because the coal companies were paying people off, Bob? I mean, there was a lot of money going around. There was a lot.
Well, no, the coal miners were just wanted to shoot back.
Well, after all the time they got shit on over the years, can't say as I blame them. You know, when you think that's the only, when you feel like that's the only option you got left, and unfortunately, I'm seeing that now. And for those who think that Indiana isn't right wing enough, I'll remind you, I was listening to Rick Smith a couple of weeks ago. I did not know the John Birch Society was born here in Taliban, Annapolis.
On the other hand, you're not at all surprised.
Oh, no, because, as I've said before, I did work on a historical marker project about D.C. Stevenson, who was not only the Speaker of the Indiana General Assembly, he was the Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan in like 14 states. And he murdered a woman named Margaret Oberholzer, known as Madge to her friends. And I tell you, I went to the Indiana Historical Society. They've got file boxes full of stuff on him. I saw his divorce decree, his Klan ID, which is hilarious when you think about it, because back then, identification cards didn't have
Klan ID. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, and it had the various racial designations, you know.
Oh,
and, of course, Caucasian was
prominently featured.
Mimeographed in. Oh, yes, and I felt like after handling that stuff, Bob, that I needed to have my skin scraped.
And shower with bleach. Because I got a little fact here you might find interesting. My buddy Vernon, who's in the Facebook group, just pointed out that according to an Oak Ridge National Laboratory report, the fissionable uranium and thorium in coal would produce more power than burning the coal.
By extracting the thorium and the...
Yeah, and using as...
And then...
Fissile material.
Instead of burning the coal.
Right, fissile material. Well, Dave, I wish you a very, very happy new year. I wish you a very, very happy new year. I hope you enjoy your day with the lovely Christine. And we will talk soon.
I'll send my wishes to her for you. And I'll talk to you again in the new year.
Let's do that. You take care, Dave.
You too, bud.
Bye now.
Bye.
Our buddy Dave calling from the blind in Taliban, Indiana. And we move on to what I suspect is our buddy Flavio in Fair La Crosse, Wisconsin. Hey, Flavio.
Yeah, it's been in the 50s, 60s here.
Yeah, that's obscene.
That's not normal. Toward the end of December.
Is it just, I mean, I'm not a meteorologist and I don't play one on the radio, but is it just because maybe the jet stream hasn't dropped from up in the far frozen hellscape that is far Canada?
It could be, although our friends in Duluth got hit pretty hard with snow. It just started snowing.
Well, it snows come on, Flavio. It snows in Duluth in July.
Mm-hmm. what was I going to say? I have some good news.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Flavio has good news, and I just managed to somehow moiterate the connection. Let me get him back. Okay, let's see if I can.
Reach Flavio, but if you leave a message.
Ah, daggum it. I hate it when I have that. That one's on me. Flavio, if you're listening, dial back, man. I did not mean to end our call. And especially since he said he had some good news. I like that. I'm a big fan of good news. But since I did mention the far frozen hellscape of far Canada, I thought I'd mention that, and I can't remember her name because I lost the. I had the story open. There's Flavio. I had the story open when the laptop crashed on Friday. Some lunatic woman in Alberta province wants to shut down free speech about the tar sands hellscape. She was having a conniption over a question, an elementary school question about reading comprehension. It wasn't an editorial about the tar sands toxic waste zone. It just happened to be the topic of a reading comprehension question. And she wants to make sure that she wants it to be illegal. Preferably in all of Canada, but at least in Alberta, to say anything bad about the environmental planet-killing disaster that is the tar sands hellscape. So it's not just one vile woman in Jackson, Mississippi. Oh no! And especially in a province like Alberta, they got more than their fair share. Hey, Flavio, I'm sorry about that, man.
So I have good news. My intraocular blood eye pressure is 17, which is within range of 13 to 21. Normal range is 13 to 21, and so I don't have glaucoma. That was a relief.
That's a win.
Yeah, because I only see out of my right eye, and if that eye goes, then, you know.
You're screwed.
I might as well get a seeing eye dog and learn Braille.
Oof.
So that was a relief, because my sister had to be operated 3 times for it. But her eyeball pressure was in the 50s. She had to be operated the day of her diagnosis.
Ooh.
So I'm in the eye doctor said I was in the sweet spot, 16 in one eye, 17 in the other eye. I don't have glaucoma, so.
Well, I guess that means you don't have to become a constant smoker of the evil marijuanas.
No, although yeah.
Let's not be so fast.
Every now and then.
Yeah.
But how do you like them apples? That Mandy is married to a Sinhalese guy. A woman from Mississippi married to a Sinhalese guy. Trump supporter. Go figure.
Well, that probably helped propel her forward. you know, sort of like Diamond and Silk.
Oh, okay.
Or, you know, what did we decide? Paste and polyester? Diamond and Silk? Yeah.
What happened with the phone?
Oh, I accidentally hung up on you.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes
wasn't
I'm...
Me, wasn't
no,
me,
no, no, no. It was me. I sometimes have massive outbursts of raging incompetence, and I was trying to do one thing, and instead I hung up on you.
Oh.
Yeah, I suck.
But how do you like that Mandy woman? Isn't she a piece of work?
You can see I've been hanging on to that piece since Christmas Day. The Palm Beach Post published that trash on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
You know, once you really let that sink in, you realize that there is no low that these coal thugs will not plumb. No debt.
Yeah, you wonder how much the Palm Beach Post got paid for that one, too.
Yeah, well, you never know. But most of the time, they run that garbage for free because it just makes their lives easier. As the saying goes, it beats working. It's like those canned packages that run on your local nightly news.
Was it in the opinion section at least?
Yeah, it was.
It wasn't like news, right?
Mercifully, no. I don't think I could have taken that.
One of these days we're going to see news, you know, it's straight from the Pravda. But I always check those things out. You know, I always do a vanity Google.
Right, and see, that's what we all need to be doing.
I always do a vanity Google. You know, the person's name within quotes, so you just get the exact match.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then I just dug up all kinds of, she's a frequent contributor to the Daily Caller.
Of course she is. That's Tucker Carlson's little white supremacist rag, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, and she's married to a Sinhalese guy. Well, then you have Dinesh D'Souza, you know, well, whatever.
Oh, Dinesh D'Souza?
D'Souza.
Hi.
Oh, my God.
Hi. I fooled around on my spouse and got thrown out of being the president of a grifty little Christian college. I've got morals. I'm Dinesh. Who are you?
Yeah, I mean... Decatur, Mississippi. That's where she's from, not Jackson.
Well, it says Jackson, but makes me wonder where Decatur, Mississippi is. Hold on. Time to look.
I know where Decatur, Illinois is. I never heard of Decatur, Mississippi.
Now I'm 58 miles from Decatur, Alabama.
I guess that's a common name, huh?
Well, do you know why it's so common?
Mm-mm.
Because at one point in time, Stephen Decatur was one of the greatest heroes that the young Republic had.
I did not know who Stephen Decatur was.
Yeah, he was
a lot of places named after him, but maybe you can remind me.
Okay, Decatur, and by the way, Decatur is just. It's just a little bit to the west of Meridian, and Meridian you can throw from Meridian you can throw a rock and hit Alabama. Stephen Decatur was a naval hero.
Okay.
And what was it? Not damn the torpedoes, full speed. But anyway, the naval victories, I think, at...
War of 1812?
War of 1812 and the Barbary Pirates.
Okay, there you go. Now
and he came from a naval family, and...
That's Stephen Decatur, okay.
Yeah, and he eventually gets a whole bunch of places named after him after he gets murdered in a duel.
Ah.
So if you're ever in D.C. and you're on Lafayette Square in front of the White House...
Mm-hmm.
The corner mansion there a block back from Pennsylvania Avenue is the Stephen Decatur Mansion.
Mm.
And it's where he lived at the time that he got himself into a duel and got himself killed.
So he was a Southern gentleman, too, huh?
He was a Marylander.
A Marylander. That was a slave state, right?
Yeah. It was neutral in the war, but it was a slave state.
Yeah.
And Decatur's a little ways from Jackson, but...
Yeah. So a lot of places named Decatur in the U.S. then.
Yes. And they're all the same guy.
They're all the same guy. But it didn't surprise me at all, you know? I mean, that's her... She's a grifter. That's where her bread's buttered.
And see, that's what makes the struggle so hard, because organizations
like... Those people have more money.
Organizations like Coal River Mountain Watch have to beg and scrape and plead for every penny, when on the other hand, if you're just a maggot grifter, the money runs into your coffers like a mighty sewer.
Mm-hmm. A cloaca. I wanted to say cloaca today.
I'm glad I could oblige you.
Cloaca.
Darlene's happy to hear about your interocular pressure. She says, "High pressure in the 50s is high. I have the same problem as Flavio. I'm usually in the 20s, although it tends to decrease in the evenings."
Mm-hmm. My sister had to be operated right away, because her was, you know, through the roof. I told the optometrist, my sister told me that hers was through the roof. And he goes, he was figuring about 30 or so. Normal range is 13 to 21. And I talked to her the day of the test, after it had the test, and she said, through the roof means over 50. So she had to be operated right away. And I guess they did those, they made incisions in her eyeball or something to relieve the pressure, but she had to have like 3 or 4 operations because it was critical.
Wow.
Wow, yeah. So, of course, you know, she said, run, don't walk to the, don't wait till January, because I was seeing halos around lampposts, but it could be that I had a little too much or something over the holidays.
Well, it's winter in Wisconsin. There may have been some brandy involved.
And, you know, I got something in my eye, and, you know, I was concerned, and my sister said, run, don't walk to, you know, don't wait till January, you know, because the sooner you get to it, the better. And so the optometrist said, I'm fine. Check my optic nerve. Normal. The right one, the left one is dull.
Extra normal.
How's that?
Extra normal.
Yeah.
One of my favorite movie lines from the wonderful, quirky little film Being There, or not Being There, Local Hero.
Hmm.
The Houston deal making guy goes into the little shop in Furness, Scotland, and wants some shampoo. And the proprietor says, "Will that be dry, normal, or greasy?" And he answers, "Oh, normal. Extra normal." Extra normal.
Yeah. But that's a relief, and so I can enjoy the holidays and not have to worry about that. And but yeah, I just had an episode where just a couple times where I saw halos around lampposts, because I'd go outside to have a smoke or something. And
well, you know, if you see them around people's heads, especially if it's a guy and he's kind of squat and he's got dark hair and a beard,
Yeah.
You might do well to say, well, you know, welcome back, bub.
Yeah.
Because you'll probably be the only person in Wisconsin who recognizes him. Yeah, you might want to warn him. Don't go to your churches, buddy. They'll crucify you again.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, it's not a good idea. But yeah. So, you got the expression right, Mark Twain. Taffy is being distributed.
Yes.
I love that expression.
Well, it's because in the era, the genteel era in which Twain lived, he could not publish the word shit. You know, shit's being passed out. As in, they're feeding you shit.
Uh-huh.
Taffy was handy because, you know, taffy's sweet, but it has no nutritional value.
Exactly.
And it's just sticky and it's cloying and it gets all over the place.
And it sticks to your teeth, and I hate the stuff myself. I have bad teeth, so I can't eat candy like that. That sticks to your teeth. Ugh.
Well, Jim, who is Jim back up in West Virginia, not far from where the fabulous Horn Studios are. Jim is glad to hear your good news and wishes you continued good health.
I have a question. I have been listening intermittently because of the holidays, but what is, I know, and I also know that you are a native of Alabama, but what is the purpose of your being in Alabama? Have you revealed that yet?
No, it is multifaceted. And I figured we would talk about it in the new year. It's no big dramatic reveal. Part of what I'm looking into is to try to figure out if it might be feasible to move down here for at least part of the time.
Mm.
Because, among other things, you know, even though your kids become numerically or calendrically adult, that doesn't mean that they're not still your kids. And that you've lost all responsibility. Mm. And if I want, I mean, our daughters are pretty much out doing their own thing.
They're Riz.
But.
Your daughters are Riz, right?
Pardon?
Your daughters are Riz.
What's Riz?
Raised.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's grown. Mm. But I need to do something that gives Ferg a fighting chance.
Mm-hmm.
And here where I am has a vibrant musical community. And there's a local university that's pretty decent and not terribly expensive. And probably a hell of a lot more support for his sobriety than there is at home.
Mm.
And so I've spent a lot of time researching all of this,
mm-hmm.
while at the same time working on something else as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of taking out multiple birds with a single stone.
And you know the area pretty well. I'm sure
back of my hand. And you know, even though I'm not at home, that doesn't mean I'm not cooking. There's a little diner that opens at 5:30 in the morning.
Mm.
I ran out and got myself some fresh, hot, real good biscuits. That is to say, not Tudor's Biscuit World biscuits. These are the real deal, fluffy, hot, soft, beautiful, beautiful golden color, not crispy. Biscuits should never be fucking crispy.
No, if they're crispy, they're dry.
And I came back here. And I made a pan. I took some good local sausage, crumbled it and fried it.
Mm-hmm.
Took it out of the pan, left the grease, put in the flour, worked up a roux, got a nice color on that, poured in the milk, dissolve the roux, let it begin to thicken, and then, and I've been meaning to mention this because I recently got a care package from New Mexico from our buddy Dr. John, who sent me an assortment of dried New Mexico chilies of different varieties. And one of them, Flavio, is pound for pound, or out, probably more like milligram for milligram, the hottest pepper on earth. Now, I know everybody says, no, it's the ghost pepper, or it's the reaper. And those are all peppers that are that species of habanero that has that funny flavor. And they're hot, but this is a real-life chili pepper, and it only grows wild. It's barely domesticatable. And it's called a tepin, T-E-P-I-N. And I call them Satan's little BBs because they're about the size of a BB.
Wow.
And if you crumble up five of these in a good size recipe of, say, salsa, it'll be hotter than most people are willing to eat.
Wow.
And so, as I was making my roux and poured the milk in, I took one of those little tepins, crushed it between my fingers. It's just little round red chili. Crushed
Hope
it between
you washed
my
your hands
fingers.
Afterwards, right?
And no, I licked my fingers. I love the hot.
But you don't want to touch your eyes with it, though, dude.
Well, or there are other places too. Because I've done that, and it burns like a burning ring of fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down, and the flames went higher. I know what that song's about. But I crumbled that little tepin into my sausage gravy and let it thicken, and I put the sausage back in, and it was awesome.
Divine.
Oh, it was magnificent. It was magic. It was better than any sausage gravy I can get in any commercial establishment.
Oh, yeah. No, this stuff you get at the restaurants is like bland.
And so I seasoned it with that, some black pepper, a little salt. It was really good sausage from around here, and had it over biscuits, and yum, yum, yum.
Oh, man, that is so good. I love good biscuits and gravy, but you can't find that here. That's some in Kentucky.
Well, you know what? If you've got somebody who's willing to cook for you, or you're willing to make the effort yourself, you need to order in some white lily flour.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason that it's so hard to get a decent biscuit anywhere above the Mason-Dixie line is white lily flour, because it's made of a very, very, very soft winter wheat, and it doesn't have the protein content of, say, a more generic flour.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of the reduced protein content, it doesn't form those long, sticky chains like you get or like you want when you're making, say, French bread.
Right.
It gives it that chew. That soft wheat makes it nice and fluffy. And you can order it through Amazon or whatever, but it's really hard to get up north. Down here, it is the go-to flour for biscuits.
Mm-hmm. That explains it. Yeah, you can't have good. I mean, they have it. They advertise, biscuits and gravy up here, but it's nothing like I had, like when I went to Louisville on business once for the company.
Yeah,
for Humana. And I had breakfast there, and I was just, like, blown away.
No, it's a totally different experience.
Well, hey, man, I'll let someone else get in, but I thought you'd appreciate that little bit of ad hoc research.
Oh, absolutely. That was perfect. It was perfect and perfectly timed. And it's always fun to expose these little coal whores when the opportunity presents itself. Because see, that's what drove me crazy about the whole thing, was that the publication was so essentially dishonest in not even giving anyone a clue as to her orientation, because had that been some sort of anti-coal Democrat, it probably would have said so-and-so is a goddamn godless communist who doesn't love Jesus and Jesus loves coal.
Now, of course, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Flavio, have yourself a good evening, and if we don't talk again before the new year, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, and Happy New Year to everybody in the Horn family.
All right, good deal. Take care. Stay warm if you need to.
Yeah. Take care, Bob.
See you, Flavio. And that's the one and only Flavio. I need to, let's see here. Make sure we get all properly disconnected. Yes. How about that? Indiana politics, note coming from James in Illinois. Number one son is fixing to run for state representative there just northeast of Indianapolis. Michael Vick, not the dog killer. How cool. Well, I sure do hope that he wins, James. Best of luck from all of us. Randy reminds us that RBG works out nearly every day. I don't think that Representative John Lewis does. No time like the present for starting. And, there was something else, but, oh, goodness me, we are rapidly running out of time. Scott, is that you over on the stress line?
Yes, it is. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? Welcome back.
Thank you, Bob. What is the technical term for you do a bit and then there's other stuff and then you come back and finish the bit? Punctuated? I don't know.
Attenuated? Maybe bifurcated?
I feel bifurcated, but it's all right. I just only had a couple of more little bits of stuff. Okay, let me get back to the counting of the decade. And I know that you're sold on your theory of the case. And I agree that when you're counting stuff, you don't start with zero. Okay? Zero is implied in the sense that before you start counting, you've got a blank table that you're working on, and then you take the box and dump a number of whatever the things you're going to be counting, and then you begin one, two, etc. Okay, so zero is assumed, but I think in the case of decades, it goes by, like right now we're at year 2019, and the operative thing is the one in 19. So that when the 2020s begin, the operative thing becomes the two. 20, 21, 22, and you get 10 of those.
I'm just a crank, but see, all of that, and that, that argument is all well and good, and I got the same basic argument from, let me see here. It was RR. Rally. Is not the 0 year 1 year? Of course it is. Thus we must count it, making the ninth year, in fact, the 10th year of the decade. At least that's the way this Arkanstani Wachita Mountain foothill Billy ciphers it. And I understand that, but here's the flaw. All of that presumes that there was a year zero. There was not. See, just like our new year, when we celebrate our new year, is screwed up by the bullshit calculation of the day that little baby Jesus had his penis mutilated. So too, we have a bullshit calculation again by church people. You know, you can always count on church people to fuck things up.
Amen.
You've got a bullshit calculation by church people of when Jesus got born. And
well,
that
wasn't he act if he was born at all, wasn't it in like April or something?
Yeah, I mean that we could the theologians have been driving themselves bananas for years trying to sort that shit out.
Yeah.
But the season doesn't matter so much. Like, the season doesn't matter so much as when the year. And of course, the Gospels are not history, they are hagiography. So they cannot be relied upon for history. But they do throw some little clues in just to keep you interested, like in Luke, where it says when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Okay?
Yeah, there's a way to figure that.
The Romans were good record keepers. But B.C.
Did they start with zero?
B.C., before Christ, anything B.C. has to be before the moment that he stuck his little noggin out of Mary's hoo-hoo. Okay? That's all B.C. Well, I'm sorry. I mean, man born of a woman. That's B.C. Anno Domini, the year of our Lord, is everything after. There was no Anno Domini zero. Because it always begins with one. So if you're going to advance the argument that we count the 0 year because we got to count the 0 year and that makes the 9 year, then you've got to go backwards and you've got to find that 0 AD, which never existed, couldn't exist either numerically or mathematically or calendrically. The instant that his little head poked out, it was 1 A.D. And the only way you get a decade out of that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The 0 year ends it. The next decade begins with the next 1 year. And that works out mathematically all the way into the present.
Well, answer me this then. And we'll assume that you're correct. But when you were first talking about it, you were using the example of hot dogs. If you have a hot dog and then you eat it or whatever, why are hot dogs sold in packages of 10 and hot dog buns are in packages of 8? There's something that I would like to get the answer to.
Well, I bet. And
we're
never going to. And somewhere there is an answer. It's kind of like the heartbreaking bullshit that I learned this holiday season.
Yeah.
Everybody loves pumpkin pie and pumpkin spice this and pumpkin that.
Not me, baby.
I don't care if you buy it at a deli. I don't care if you buy it in the freezer section and bake it. I don't care if you buy it in cans and empty the cans and make the mix yourself and put it in the pie crust and bake it yourself. Nobody, except for very few, nobody ate or has eaten lately pumpkin pie.
Why? How is that?
Because there ain't no pumpkin in pumpkin pie.
Well, what have we been eating? Is it yams or no?
It's a blend of squashes that actually taste good, because pumpkin tastes like shit.
Oh. I never knew that. I mean, I knew that there's no distinction between sweet potatoes and yams. Is that right?
It only matters to other yams.
And Popeye, because Popeye always used to say, "I am what I am." Didn't he? What's in that pipe, Popeye? Spinach.
Yeah, very special spinach.
Yeah, Mexican spinach. Well, let me close with good news. Potential good news.
Okay.
Something crossed the transom earlier today. Where is it? I had it for you. It was all queued up, ready to go. Oh, yes. There, in some smaller communities, mostly rural and small or medium-sized markets in various parts of the country, it's carriage price increase time for cable systems in these places. And apparently, the family of Fox channels, including Fox News, but Fox Sports, Fox FX and FXX and FXL or whatever those movie channels are, TV channels, apparently these little cable companies are about to be gouged by the Murdoch family to the tune of more than 10 times the inflation rate. In order to have the privilege of Fox being piped into their homes on these dozens and dozens of little cable companies. So you face the prospect of places out in the hinterlands not having their Fox 6. Now, how is that for good news? I think it's about time the rest of us, since we've been driven crazy by the presence of Trump and the content of Trump, the very least nature and the nature could do is to make them a little crazy with the absence of Trump and Trump content. Is that fair? I mean, it would be fair, wouldn't it?
I do suppose, yes.
So I don't know. The negotiations are supposedly still going on, but that item came across the transom today, and I said, well, maybe there is a God after all. Maybe I need to start going back to church and stuff.
Paying attention and whatnot. But yeah, no, don't do that.
I can think of a couple relatives who will go absolutely batshit crazy if this comes to pass, because they definitely need their Fox fix.
No, there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth.
Yeah. Because where else will they be able to talk about the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation snipping out Trump?
You know who's champing at the bit over this?
Oh, I'm sure they're going in line to say something nasty about it.
Oh no! For those cable systems that may lose their Fox. Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. They're all eager.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure, because they're way crazier than Fox is. Which is, I didn't know that they had scales to measure that. I thought that Fox was pretty much the end all and be all of crazy until News One, or what is it called? One America or something?
No, I call it Onan, because that's what makes it funny.
Okay, I know. But anyway, that's a fairly recent entry in the lineup. They latched on to the Fox mindset, but they added crack to the mix, or meth or something. It wasn't enough to be batshit crazy. You've got to heighten it.
Yeah, got to make it worse.
I just hope that we have our wits about us in this coming new year, whenever the new decade begins. That we will do everything possible to keep that fool from being in there for another 4 years. Because we will go from being screwed to being irretrievably screwed. And that's really nothing to kid about. And I'm just as serious as I can be when I say that. Do you watch It's a Wonderful Life every year?
Sure.
Around the holiday season? I do too, and I always cry at the end, no matter how hard I try not to.
I cry at the beginning.
But why at the beginning?
Oh, because when the constellations are talking to each other, or the galaxies are talking to each other, that's generally when I sniffle.
Really?
Yeah. I sniffle at the sad part, not the happy part.
Yeah. Well,
Anyway, I got to get out. I got to get out of here, Scott. But I'm glad we got the rest of it in, and I'm sure I'll get lots of emails about how wrong I am about mathematics. But damn it, when I count to ten, there's a one and a zero, not a nine.
Well, no matter what, you'll be happy to know that the other day I did my shopping for New Year's Eve, and I got me a respectable sized bottle of Grey Goose and a respectable sized bottle of vermouth. And I'm set to go.
Olives? Olives? Do you have olives?
I've got olives, yeah.
Okay.
But I've got
Do you ever sub in the occasional pickled onion for a Gibson?
No, but you know what I do like is, and my older brother got me turned on to this. I think they call them a dirty martini.
Oh yeah, with the olive juice.
Yeah, it does add. It does tend to add something.
Oh, they're special.
But I am all set because I only have a martini for a couple for my birthday and a couple for New Year's, and I figure that's enough to do me for the year. But I'm all set.
And so you'll make your couple of martinis for New Year's, and then that sizable, respectable bottle of Grey Goose will just sit there until birthday time.
Yeah.
Nobody believes you, Scott.
No, I'm serious. I don't drink like I used to, Bob, because I don't think my liver would stand it. And besides, it's like if you only do it a couple of times a year, it just makes the doing of it that much better.
Oh, it's something to look forward to. All right, Scott. Well, hopefully we will have tomorrow evening we will have a New Year's Eve on the front porch early round table before anybody can get all schwasted or anything, or get into the martini jar or anything like that. Martini bottle, martini.
There's no way I'm starting at 2 in the afternoon, Bob.
Precisely.
Just no fucking way.
Yeah.
It's 2 o'clock here when you start, and I would become, the Women's Christian Temperance, and Carrie Nation would be battling. Her battle axe would be up against my door.
Yeah.
If I start drinking,
leave that crazy shit to me. Scott, have a good evening, man.
All right.
Later.
You too. See ya.
Bye. That's our buddy Scott from San Diego, and thus we find ourselves at the end of the program. Thank you to all of you who kicked in on the challenges to make sure that we have a fundraising-free New Year's Eve on the front porch. Thank you very kindly to our anonymous friend and to Darlene and to Ralphs for the challenges that made that all possible. It means that we close the year having met the fundraising goal each and every month. Thank you so, so very much indeed. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever way you so do. Thanks to all of you subscribers and a la carte contributors who keep the program on the air. Thank you so very much. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. And thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. If you go over to my Facebook feed, you'll find a link to a fundraiser, a year-end fundraiser, for Coal River Mountain Watch. If you can, help out. This is where your activist dollars, your grassroots dollars, go the furthest. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.